today in Rich in Relationship, we're going to talk about me, myself, and us, how neglecting self-care impacts your marriage.
When I talk about that with people, usually what comes up for them is, oh yeah, the fights and the things that I say. But what drives that? Whenever something is identified as a survival issue, that's an interrupt to our basic self-care. Welcome to another episode of Rich in Relationship. And we've done a lot of episodes on self-care, but never with this particular twist, right? Because we are in the beginning of a podcast series on how we get in our own way in our marriage. And, you know, when I talk about that with people, usually what comes up for them is, oh yeah, the fights and the things that I say. But what drives that? All right. You've heard of being hungry and angry. When we don't eat, we get more triggered. Well, the same is true for all of our basic biological and emotional functions. When we don't take care of the instrument of this sack of skin that we reside in, the sack of skin starts giving us messages. When we're hungry, we get hangry. When we don't exercise enough, we start feeling bad about ourselves. We build up adrenaline and other chemicals in our body that make us edgier, that make us more prone to being triggered. When we don't get enough sleep, you could be eating right and exercising, but if you're not sleeping, the studies show that you meet the world with far less than equanimity, is what I'm going to call it. We show up less balanced, right? And you know that I'm talking the truth here. Today, in the context of me, myself, and us, what we're going to talk about is the ways that we're getting in our own way, the excuses that we make. And you know what? I'm doing a similar series on divorce right now, and I'm giving people workshop-style exercises. You're going to get some of that here, too. We're going to turn this into an interactive podcast. And how interactive it is completely up to you. But I'm going to give you tools. I'm going to give you exercises. And I'd love to hear, first, whether you're getting out of your own way and doing them. And second, whether what you're getting out of them. And third, what would you like more of? So stay tuned. Give me feedback. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you can give me feedback at richinrelationship.com, R-I-C-H at richinrelationship.com. It's Rich in Relationship, all one word. You could also tag me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. Where else are we? TikTok and even Pinterest. You know, love to hear from you. We're always looking for feedback from y'all. All right. So self-care and how it impacts me, myself, and us. Let's talk first about what is self-care. Why is it so important? And I'm going to frame it. You know, last episode, we talked a lot about the unconscious mind. I'm going to assume that you've listened to that episode. If you haven't, roll back and listen to that episode after you've listened to this one. It'll fill in some gaps for you. But in a nutshell, our unconscious mind is 80% of who we are, studies show. When measures are done of how much of us is conscious mind and how much of it is unconscious mind, it's 80%. And that is our operating system. And the basic commandment of the operating system is continue to ensure the well-being of this organism. It ensures the well-being of this organism emotionally. It ensures it spiritually, intellectually, and physically. And guess what? The unconscious mind is what drives our ability to sleep or not sleep. It's what drives our ability to manage our eating. It's what drives our ability to exercise regularly, to move this instrument regularly. It's what drives our ability to engage our intellect, which is important. Whether you have a high school degree, no degree, a college degree, it's important to exercise your intellect. It's not about the system of intellectual development that our society imposes on us. It's about this thing that's called a brain. The brain needs to be exercised just like our muscles, just like our heart, just like our lungs. Every part of this sack of skin that we reside in needs regular exercise and engagement. And the unconscious mind is responsible for that. When breakdowns happen in the care of the basic body or of our mind, which resides in this brain to some extent, and the rest of our body, the brain, the intellect, and our emotional state, when breakdowns happen in the care of these areas, and I'm going to throw in spirituality, meaning our connection to others, because as human beings, as human weenies, we are hardwired to be attached, connected to, interdependent with other people. Interdependent, not dependent, interdependent, mutual dependence with other people. We're hardwired for it. When breakdowns happen in these areas of our life, it's happening on an unconscious level. I'm going to say that again. I want to make sure you get this. It is not that you are a failure. It is not that you can't do it. It is not that you're just not equipped for it. None of that is true. What is true is when there is a breakdown in our self-care, it's because our unconscious mind has some kind of program that it thinks is more important than self-care that's getting in the way. What are some examples? The obvious example. We all go here when we first have children. All of us, everyone, is, I got to give up me time for we time. I got to show up for my kids. Baby kept me up all night. I couldn't sleep. Well, that's not an unconscious mind problem, by the way. That's the reality of children. There are, and I will footnote this by saying there are times when we do need to just accept that our circumstances may not permit us to take optimal care of our mind, our body, our spirit. There may be times when the circumstances don't allow it. And we still want to do our best given the circumstances. So what happens when contrary circumstances come up is we just say these circumstances don't allow it and we just stop. I just can't exercise because these kids need too much attention or there's too much going on at work. I just can't sleep because I'm so anxious about work. I'm anxious about my partner. Who is he texting? Who is she calling? I just can't take care of my body because it takes so much time and there's so many things I need to do to ensure the survival of our family, right? Whenever something is identified as a survival issue, that's an interrupt to our basic self-care. It's an interrupt to our basic values, actually. Go listen to the divorce series if you want to learn more about that. And all of that occurs in our unconscious mind. Our unconscious mind, we have a set of values. We have a set of priorities based on those values. And when stress rises to a certain level in any area of our life and it triggers our survival instinct, appropriately or inappropriately, a lot of those values get subverted, like self-care. And that can go on for a long time. And then we make up stories about why we're not doing it. Oh, I'm just not good at exercise. Oh, meditation, I've tried it. I can't sit still that long. Oh, prayer, I don't even know who I'm praying to. Oh, crossword puzzles, way too challenging. Oh, book about work, I really don't like reading. We come up with excuses for not doing these things. Oh, sleep apnea? If I go to the doctor, he's going to give me one of those Darth Vader masks, and I don't want that. Well, I'm here to tell you that all those excuses, all those stories that you're making up, those are messages from your unconscious mind that can be rewired. Your unconscious mind has bought into those messages because it thinks that's, you've told it, that's what's important. There's a dialogue that's going on between your conscious mind and your unconscious mind. And you're telling your unconscious mind, you know what? We just can't exercise right now because the kids are sucking up too much of our time. We just can't sleep right now because that baby's waking up every 2 hours. And then when the baby stops waking up every 2 hours, we still lose sleep because the unconscious mind receives the message and rolls with it. Part of this series is going to be about how do you meet that. But the exercise I'm going to give you on the front end here is look at the one area of physical self-care that's biggest for you right now. Whether it be sleep, eating habits, or exercise. Am I missing anything? I'm going to throw in intellect and spirituality. And in this context, let's talk about spiritual practices. Spiritual practices like meditation, mindfulness, and prayer are little things that we can do that will help get us out of survival mode. So if we've been in survival mode for a long time, we're running on adrenaline and fumes. And so if you're in that state, that's why I'm adding in. The starting point might be taking a little time to meditate, pray, or practice mindfulness every day. In fact, I'm going to create a basic meditation instruction. No, I am a very committed follower of Jesus. I'm going to make it a secular meditation practice that anyone can use because I recognize that not everyone believes the same way as I do. So I'm going to structure this in a way that people who believe, whatever you believe in, this practice you can engage in. And I'm going to release that in the next 2 weeks. So look out for that. That'll be part of the podcast. It's going to be the meditation special episode. It may be that we need some practice, some neutral practice to help us reset our amygdala. And the reason that I bring that up is studies show that when we engage in meditation, mindfulness, or prayer on a regular basis, let's say once a day, 4 days a week, that the more we do it, the more the part of our brain that is rigged to ensure our survival shrinks, and the part of our brain that is rational and thinking grows. And that's a huge part of breaking out of a survival cycle. So the challenge, I got a little full of myself there. The challenge here is, I was coughing and then I got the hiccups. It's amazing. My unconscious mind is resisting this, I guess, huh? Or maybe I just ate too fast. The challenge I'm going to give you is start writing down. I want you to keep an excuses journal for the next week or 2 weeks, depending on when the next episode comes out. You're just going to write down all the excuses that come up. You're going to pick one area that you want to improve. Don't try and improve all of them. The studies show that we need to focus on building one habit at a time, 30 days to get a habit under our belt, 90 days to really make it a part of who we are. Some people say 60. I like 90 because it's a season. You're going to pick one area: sleep, exercise, eating, mindfulness, meditation, or prayer. Let's throw out the intellectual part because that's kind of gravy right now. So pick one of those areas and you're going to just take notes. And you can do this by carrying your phone around and voice recording notes, or you can keep an open document and type it in, or you can carry a little notebook. But every day, I want you to note it, at least one thought that is coming up when you decide that you're going to do this thing. You don't even have to actually do it. Just make the decision. Maybe your decision is that you're going to practice meditation 4 days a week. And then just notice all the excuses that come up about why you can't do that and write them out. Just write them out. I want you to see them. These excuses are really programming that your unconscious mind has. And here's the way this works. In the subconscious realm, that's the realm between the unconscious and the conscious, as the conscious mind starts to identify thoughts that are bubbling up from the unconscious, the areas that were formerly unconscious become subconscious, semi-conscious, right? You start to become aware of the programming, the strategies, the plans, the messages that you have stored up in your unconscious mind. Now, I don't want you to do anything with these. I just want you to become aware. We're going to talk about what to do with it in another episode. So that's your homework. All right. Let's keep rolling. We're going to explore our inner resistance to some area of our lives, some area of our self-care, and we're going to start to explore our own personal inner resistance, whether it be guilt, whether it be that we think it's selfish or that we just don't have the time. We might even want to notice how the people around us are reinforcing that. And maybe we want to change some of the people in our lives if they're reinforcing those limiting beliefs, those assumptions we have. Assumptions, they aren't limiting beliefs, they're assumptions about our self-care. We're going to look at our excuses and justifications, and we're just going to note them. And then we're going to begin to work through them. You're going to start to notice a pattern as you write these down. You're going to start to notice that they point to emotional reasons. And it is about releasing those old emotions and those assumptions. That's what's going to take us to practicing. Now, you could just bull your way through it. That part of yourself that's in your conscious mind that really wants to get this done, you could just make a decision. I don't care about these excuses. We're going to do it. And that would be okay. But just notice the reaction that the rest of you has when you do that. There's other parts of you. There are a lot of players inside of here. Have you ever heard people talk about the chorus or the Congress when they're wrestling about a decision? Have you ever noticed that there are lots of the choir? There are lots of different voices in there that argue different things. And so there's a part of you that has bought into there's not enough time. There's part of you that's bought into other reasons why you might not be doing what you really want to be doing. And one approach is just to say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to you anymore. Darn it, we need to do this. That's sort of the authoritarian approach to self-management. And that will work for a period of time. It's kind of like you go on a diet and you kick butt on that diet and you lose 10 pounds. And then you say, all right, I'm going to coast a little. The authoritarian part of you backs up. And that part of you that was saying, hey, we just can't do that, kicks back in and you put the weight back on. The problem with the authoritarian view is we are subjugating parts of ourselves to other parts of ourselves. Now, how much do you like to be subjugated? You don't. None of us do, even to ourselves. And so part of what we're going to work on in this series is how do we create harmony between the different parts of ourselves? And we're going to do an episode just on the different parts of ourselves. By the way, it's just like, oh, we're going to talk all about this. Like, what is this parts of selves? Is it real? Well, it's only as real as we make it. Ultimately, what we're seeking here is inner harmony, taking leadership in our own lives and enrolling all the aspects of ourselves into what it is we want to create in our lives. And when we do that, we've got more energy. When we do that, we've got more enthusiasm. When we do that, we've removed all the barriers that can really get in our way, which are where inside of us. Because those external barriers don't mean much. I want you to think Nelson Mandela, all right? Nelson Mandela was locked up for 20 years. And yet he always kept his eyes on the prize. He dealt with the inner barriers. He built connection with his jailers. He didn't accept that he was a prisoner, though he may have been locked up. He created a sense of inner harmony with himself. And as a consequence of that, he emerged as a leader and built harmony within his nation because he was demonstrated self-mastery. He was able to lead his nation. That's where we're going. That's right. That's good stuff. And as we move into that world, as we start to take better and better care of ourselves, what we're going to find is that we are charging our own battery. And when our battery is fully charged, we're not getting hangry with our kids. When our battery is fully charged, we're actually able to show up with strength and authority in our family. When our battery is charged, we're less prone to give in to insecurities about our relationship that are really just our own fears a lot of the time. Sometimes there's a basis to them, but when we're leaders in our own life, we can see whether there's a basis to those concerns and not just live in paranoid, self-deluding fear. When we're taking leadership in our life and taking care of our mind, body, and spirit, we show up 100, maybe 100, and 10% everywhere else. When we get up at 2 a.m, we are really present for that child. If we figure out how to deal with that broken sleep cycle, heck, the child deals with the broken sleep cycle. We can too. We just need to find ways to do it. And we start to customize our self-care plan. We start to develop practices that we're not prisoners of our practices. I'm going to give you a quick example and then I'm going to sign off. I have developed a lot of practices for physical self-care and spiritual self-care, emotional self-care, and even intellectual self-care. And it used to be that those practices were on a very rigid timetable. I'd get up at this time, I would do this, this, and this, then I would do that, then I would do this, this, and this, then I would do that. But the problem would be that if we were traveling, that timetable would be destroyed. So I needed to learn to become flexible in those practices. All right. I'm not going to be able to do this at 5 or 6. When will I be able to do it? Or it might be, I'm not going to be able to do this today. When will I pick it up? What's the promise I'm making to myself? And what would happen when I was in the other space of authoritarian, rigid programs of self-care is that if there were a breakdown, my authority would break down with it. Oh my God, the authority cannot control us. And the other parts of me would go, yay. And then they would have a a rebellion party until the authority kicks back in. But now, because most of me is enrolled in this idea, and I reward the parts of me that are less enrolled in ways that keeps them enrolled. I'll share about that another day also. Because I've got that kind of pattern going on, I've got a lot more flexibility in my self-care. So if I'm up at 2 a.m, that's okay. I can make it work. It can work itself out because the priorities are clear to every part of who I am. I have support systems that help me to maintain those routines. And my family understands how important those routines are to me. And so they've got my back on this. All right. I'm sorry. I've been going on a long time. Let's keep moving here. What we've been talking about here is we and us, self-care, how to unlock it. We've talked about how we're going to explore the unconscious mind more in these episodes. We're going to talk about the parts of ourselves and how to enroll them in the process of self-care. And I lay down a challenge for you. Pick an area of self-care and just take notes on what might get in the way. You might actually do it, by the way. You might do it just irregularly. New habits can start out, irregularly. That's okay. But you're going to take up this challenge and you're going to let me know how it's going. All right. We're going to talk all about it. But my dog is all excited about this. And in the next episode, we're going to talk about work-related issues. Now that we've talked about basic self-care, the next episode, we're going to talk about work-related issues. Actually, I take it back, right? That's the plan, but I take it back. I think what we're going to talk about is this concept of the inner parts of ourselves. And maybe we'll frame the work-related issues in that context. That's where we're going to go. And I think it's important because it'll help. I think it's going to help you with to contextualize the resistance that you've noticed coming up. All right. That's the end of this episode. Thank you for tuning in to Rich in Relationship. And we will talk to you next podcast episode.